And all you got to do is put your hands in your pocket if you're West Virginia. Here's Holmes over midcourt. He'll let it go for three at the horn. No good. Ball game. West Virginia hangs on in an absolute battle. As the Mountaineers celebrate, as John Denver fires it up, Country Roads begins, and West Virginia wins. 76-71, Mountaineers over number 11, Iowa State.
I thought John Denver was dead. How did he fire that up? I thought he passed away. There's a lot of actors I've noticed. I'm like, wow, did not know they're still alive. Bonnie Raitt won a Grammy. I didn't even know she still sang. I heard that the other night.
It's one of those holograms like Tupac Coachella that year.
Yeah. So let me ask you a quick question. I wasn't planning on going this route, but real quick. So yesterday, Jason on the Sweet and Cream Facebook question day asked who you would want to have at your halftime entertainment. There are a few people that put George Strait. And you've seen George Strait, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you want George Strait to be the Super Bowl halftime entertainment? I'm not taking shots at people that like George Strait, but do you think that's the pick for the Super Bowl halftime entertainment?
George, this got brought up a couple times last year, I think, too. George Strait is the greatest country musician of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah. I would disagree. Him and I got Garth way up there, too.
But he's my favorite.
Yep.
Loved him, loved his show. Absolute worst person to do the Super Bowl halftime show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like, no, you can't sell a guy that's just going to stand there and sing. Like,
sometimes sit down.
That's literally what he does. Yes. He just stands there and sings. There's a song that Leanne Womack wrote called Stand There and Sing, I believe.
Right.
I think it was Leanne Womack. And so it's like, no, that's not. Super Bowl halftime show's about movement, it's about entertainment, it's about lights, it's about all the stuff that goes along with entertaining.
Right.
Like if you're Garth
Brooks would be a good Super Bowl halftime show.
Carrie Underwood.
I
think more of the female country music artists had a better chance of putting on a show than the guys do, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that'll depend on who it is, too.
Sure. Right.
But, you know, I've been to a lot of them, you know, and, like, if I'm looking for Super Bowl halftime entertainment, George Strait's the last one on my list of concerts that I've been to. Cody Johnson would be, if he got big, a great Super Bowl halftime entertainment show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not George Strait.
No, George Strait won't really.
If that's your answer, you actually have not been to one of his shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, I
love him.
Yeah, but he's
loved
not.
The show. I enjoyed it because I like George Strait's music, and that's right. All he needs to do is stand there and sing for me.
Right. Oh, yeah, I'm with you. So, anyway, there you go. There's somebody who's actually seen George Strait in concert. We'll tell you he shouldn't be the Super Bowl halftime entertainment, and he won't be. And at his age now, I don't even know if he can stand up the whole time, and it's only 15 minutes, but
he's
is.
Probably in better shape than I am. Well, maybe not you, but me.
George Strait, he is an icon. There's no doubt about it, and I'm not knocking him at all. He would perform just fine, but in regards to entertainment value for the Super Bowl in front of 80 million people, whatever it is, yeah, probably not so much. All right, West Virginia does win last night over Iowa State. My boy James Wessling from Salina doing the call last night, and they did a little feature on Josh Eilert during the broadcast. Did you see that? That was pretty doggone cool. Josh Eilert from Osborne. We've had Josh on our show many times over the years since he's been a coach with Bob Huggins at West Virginia. So that was very, very cool. West Virginia wins 76-71 over Iowa State. Mountaineers are 15-9, 4-7 in the Big 12. Iowa State falls a 7-4 in Big 12 play. They're now a game behind Texas for first place, as is KU, K-State, and Baylor. That's right, a four-way tie for second, as Baylor won 82-72 over Oklahoma last night. KU goes to Norman coming up on Saturday. And Oklahoma's really been struggling ever since they blew out Alabama. It's like that was their Super Bowl of the season. They just have not been the same team since. And now watch, they'll play their best against KU on Saturday at noon, pregame at 11:30 on Z96.3 Lake. Oklahoma State beat Texas Tech in Stillwater by 3, 71-68. Wichita State losing to Central Florida last night at home, 72-67. They're up 6 at halftime, but end up losing by 5. Craig Porter led the Shockers 19 points. Shockers now back to even Steven, 12-12 overall record, 5-7 in the American Athletic Conference. Coming up on the ticket here in just a little bit, we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes and his ankle. Also, the Lakers move on from Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant is changing residency. Yes. Huge news coming out this morning and overnight. Everybody thought the Russell Westbrook trade was the biggest trade. Hold on, hold my beer. The Nets say, hold my beer. We got one better than that. I'm a little bit surprised how quickly this has been moving. We'll cover all that. And Brian Heaney, the voice of Jayhawks, on the way as well. But first, Dusty has an athlete of the week to tell you about.
Yeah, Rock Hill senior Lauren Welchel has been named the NCISSports.com Cunningham Telephonic Cable Athlete of the Week. She's been a mainstay for the Grizzlies girls basketball team since her freshman season. She's having a great senior campaign going into the final 2 weeks of the year. Last Friday night against Lakeside, despite a loss, she scored a season-high 27 points and crashed the boards with a career-high 19 rebounds as well. It was her fifth double-double of the season. Tuesday in a 52-27 win over Natoma and Mankato, she was playing a little bit under the weather and still scored a team-best 17 points, added 5 rebounds and 4 steals on the season. Welchel scored in double figures 14 of the 16 games for the Lady Grizzlies and is now averaging 15.8 a game, 8 rebounds a contest. Earlier this season, she became the first player in Rock Hill's history to surpass both the 1,000-point and 500-rebound barriers. So Lauren Welchel's had a great season and a great week as well. So she's our athlete of the week from NCKSSports.com and Cunningham Telephone and Cable. You can read more at NCKSSports.com about how you can nominate athletes of the week, and we will announce the winners each week. So if you have nominations, get those to us. You know, there's any way you want to get it to us, we'll get it and get out the nominations and try to pick an athlete of the week. So, Lauren Welchel, again, you can visit NCKSSports.com for all that. And we'll lead in. Welchel and the Lady Grizzlies are playing tonight against Lincoln in high school hoops. Jason Broadford will be on the call there in Lincoln tonight. Actually, this afternoon, we'll have pregame starting at 4:50. Girls tip off at 5 o'clock, and the boys' game will follow. Fans can catch those games Z96.3 to the Lake Kitty Country 94.com. A girls' game, Rock Hill 7-9 and 4-4 in the Northern Plains League. Lincoln comes into the game at 7-9 and 4-5. Rock Hills did beat Lincoln in the play-in game of the Northern Plains League tournament back on January 13th, 47-30. And Rock Hills coach Nick Meisner giving his thoughts on the Lady Leopards in this rematch.
We've seen Lincoln once already in the league tournament. We kind of broke it open late in the third with our pressure and got some runouts and beat them by 15 or 16. But you know, I don't expect that result. It's a quick turnaround for us. They're quick, fast, athletic. They've got a couple taller post players that, you know, they've improved throughout the season. They're a really nice team and not a team to be taken lightly.
Again, Lincoln Rock Hills girls. Rock Hills definitely going to be a favorite in that one. On the boys' side, Rock Hills 7-8, 4-4 in the Northern Plains League, while Lincoln comes in at 6-10 and 3-6. Normally, I would have a cut from Zach Duffy, but he didn't have a voice yesterday. So Jason's actually talking to him right now in the other room, getting the interview. So I know that Coach Duffy has liked what he's seen from his team of late, and again, a team that's continued to improve and has done some good things under Coach Duffy here this season. So it'll be the first meeting of the season between the Grizzlies and Leopards on the boys' side. Pregame coverage again at 4:50 this afternoon on Z96.3 and KittyCountry94.com.
Yeah, we have a doubleheader tonight on a Thursday. It's odd that happens. The Rock Hills Lincoln game was moved from a Friday to a Thursday. The Boyd Ellsworth game is tonight on Katy Country 94 from Ellsworth, and also online KittyCountry94.com live video stream at the Boyd Trojan channel at NCKSSports.com. This was a game that's supposed to take place last Friday, and it was a water main break in Ellsworth, so it was moved to tonight. And it's a huge game for three of the four teams in regards to sub-state seeding purposes. In the girls' game, Ellsworth is sitting at 8-7. Right now, they are a 6 seed. But the 4 seed is 9-7, and the 3 seed is 10-6. So Ellsworth, to get a first-round home game at sub-state in 3A sub-state play at the end of February, they really need a win tonight against Beloit, a team they beat by 9 earlier in the year. It was very tight towards the end. Ellsworth then pulled away at the very end. Beloit 4-12 on the season, and Sean Remus, head coach of the Lady Trojans, on meeting up with the Bearcats a second time around.
They've got some talented freshmen that can hit some shots, and then they've got post players that are great and have a lot of experience. So we're just going to have to play solid, and our kids know that, and they know that we're, you know, our time's limited here as we have the games we're finishing up, and so they're hungry and they're excited, and so we'll give it our all, and hopefully we can come away with a win.
First one was a tight contest, and Beloit certainly would like to make it another tight contest, have a chance to win in the fourth quarter on the road at Ellsworth. Beloit girls look like they're pretty much locked into the 7 seed, and more than likely they will play Southeast Saline for a third time at Southeast coming up at the end of February in the first round of 3 sub-state play. So not as much on the line for Beloit in regards to sub-state seeding purposes, but certainly want to get a few wins here heading down the stretch to build some confidence going into postseason action. The boys game is absolutely large. Very, very big game between Beloit and Ellsworth. Beloit edged Ellsworth 42-38 back in December. It was a grinded out win. Beloit had a diamond and one defense. Cravens was held in check. Beloit hit some clutch free throws down the stretch. Beloit certainly is way better offensively now than they were then, but I'm sure Ellsworth is way better than they were then as well. And it is at Ellsworth. And there have been some weird games over the years with Beloit and Ellsworth boys where Beloit, it's odd. Like, Beloit will get a really nice, comfortable lead at Ellsworth and then sometimes completely blow the lead and then find a way to barely win. It's just that you just can't kill the Bearcats in their on their home floor. It's just been very, very weird. There was a game a few years ago, I believe it was, where Beloit was up like 25, I think, or something to that extent, and or 21. It was really crazy. Ellsworth came all the way back and, I believe, tied or took the lead. And then Beloit ended up winning. I think that was just a couple years ago. So weird things happen in Ellsworth. And in the boys' standings right now, Southeast the one seed, Beloit's 11-5, but Ellsworth's 10-5, and Smoky Valley's 10-6, and Russell's 11-7, and Norton is 9-6, and Phillipsburg's 9-7. So Beloit really, you know, to have a real firm grasp on being a two seed, a win tonight at Ellsworth would be huge because, one, if they end up tied, they get the tiebreaker because they beat Ellsworth head-to-head twice. So that would be huge. They got another big game coming up Tuesday against Sacred Heart. If Beloit will beat Ellsworth and Sacred Heart the next two games, more than likely they'll be the two seed. They avoid Southeast till the possible finals of Substate at Russell. However, if Ellsworth wins tonight, Beloit could easily fall as far down as a 4 or a 5 after tonight with a big game against Sacred Heart on Tuesday. Next thing you know, Beloit's on the road to first round of Substate with a couple losses down the stretch. So it is a very jumbled mess. And the other thing, too, is Beloit and Ellsworth, right now, they're the 2 and the 3. They could meet in the Substate semifinals. So you could have Beloit playing Ellsworth in the Substate semis a third time and then play Southeast in the finals a third time if Beloit were to get that far. It's a big matchup, and Will Craven's an outstanding player. Here's what Coach Eilert hopes for on his team after playing a tough, grinded-out, 8-point loss to the third-ranked team in the state on Tuesday. Quick turnaround to play the Ellsworth Bearcats.
Well, I want to see us respond from last night's loss and come out with the same intensity and knowing that this is a huge game for us. And Ellsworth just has, you know, a good squad. The Cravens kid can score from anywhere and is very aggressive. And then their role players are shooting the ball a lot better than when we played them early in the year. And so it's going to be a different type of game. Ellsworth's going to be in a zone, and we're going to have to attack it better than we did the first game.
Yeah, this game tonight will be a lot different than Southeast from the standpoint it won't be as physical, more than likely, if both teams are playing zone or type of zone or junk defense, as it may be, a triangle and two, a box and one, diamond and one, whatever you want to call it. But I've said this over and over. I believe it's true even in high school. Role players play better at home, and that's the X factor. I just saw this on Tuesday. Luke Gebhardt played a lot better at home the other night, and so did Caden Isaacson, than they would have in Beloit, especially Isaacson. And that's all it takes. One guy to really play better than he normally does, or he's more comfortable on his home floor, used to the sight lines, shooting a three, or whatever the case may be. And that typically happens. And we've talked about it. We've seen it in college sports as well. So that's something to keep an eye on tonight. Riley Stone didn't have a very good game the first time around. He's a very good player, averaging 13 a game, kind of negated by Beisner's size. And then Bryce Beisner is going to have to bounce back after a tough game against Southeast, where they took him away. So Ellsworth doesn't have the size to match up with Bryce inside or Eli Johnson or Brody Litton. So Beloit's got an advantage in the post. There's no doubt about that. But then Will Cravens is the X factor. That kid is absolutely special. He's averaging 22 a game, and I think he could average even more if he really wanted to. So it's going to be a fun matchup tonight. Beloit at Ellsworth on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com, live video stream at NCKSports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. There is wrestling rankings and wrestling today as well.
Yeah, wrestling rankings, the latest are posted. Again, you can always find them at NCKSports.com. Hoxie, obviously, still number one in the team rankings in 3-2-1A. Smith Center's number four this week. Brogan Monty of Beloit still number one at 106. He's 33-0 now on the season. 150 pounds, Bentley Montgomery, Smith Center, ranked number one. Eli Franklin, number two at 215 for Smith Center. Alex Wilkinson, number four at 144 for the Redmen. And Carson Montgomery's in the rankings this week at number five at 285 pounds. Chris Heiss of Osborne, ranked number six at 175. And, yeah, there's high school wrestling tonight. Beloit's at Minneapolis. Smith Center at Republic County in dual action. It's the last regular season matches for both of those schools. Regionals coming up tomorrow for girls wrestling, and Osborne will be having some athletes competing there, so we'll be keeping an eye on them and following how they do at regionals coming up tomorrow. We'll kind of preview that as well. coming up on sports tomorrow. So, yeah, wrestling season is winding down here as we finish with duels here today, and then regionals will be next week for the boys.
Yep, and we'll have coverage of regional wrestling as well, as all the teams are in Beloit.
Yes.
So that's nice and convenient.
Absolutely.
And, of course, State will be at Hayes at the near the end of February, February 24th and 25th, I do believe. All right, so let's turn to the National Football League, where Patrick Mahomes and his ankle still at the front of people's minds, especially Chiefs fans. Here's Mahomes' update on his ankle.
I don't think you'll know exactly until you get to game day. I'm definitely in a better spot. I definitely can move around better than I was moving last week or 2 weeks ago. And so it's just trying to continue to get the treatment and the rehab. I mean, get to as close as I can to 100% and then rely on some adrenaline to let me do a little bit extra when I'm on the field. So it's going to be definitely better, more mobile. I'll be able to move around a little bit better for sure. And then we'll see on game day how close to 100% I can be.
Well, I think the biggest concern, and we'll talk a lot more about this game tomorrow on the Sports Ticket preview on Super Bowl 57, which you can hear with the pregame from Westwood One at 4 o'clock, and then kickoff 5:30, Eagles and the Chiefs. Eagles a 1.5-point favorite. We had Dan Israel on for the Chiefs Radio Network yesterday. If you missed that, it's on our podcast page, Sports Ticket, KDCountry94.com, and he still is a little bit befuddled that the Chiefs are an underdog, and I said, hey, let them be the underdog. Let them have a chip on their shoulder, because the Chiefs have played a much tougher schedule. They played much tougher quarterbacks. That doesn't mean anything once they lace it up and go on the field, though, coming up on Sunday at 5:30. Eagles are a very talented team. The Chiefs and Eagles have the two best scoring offenses in the league, and so there could be a lot of points. I think people are going to be all caught up in, ooh, there's going to be a whole bunch of points. If the officiating crew, which I shudder when I say Carl Jeffers, they usually call a lot of penalties. And Roger Goodell was asked about the state of NFL officiating yesterday, and he said it's never been better. So that tells you all you need to know when you choose Carl Jeffers. So I think, and I may be wrong, because, and I hope I'm wrong, I think Jeffers' crew has been told let him play. And let him play is good for the defenses. So I think there's going to be more field goals in this game than people think. And I don't think it's going to be maybe as high scoring as people might think. But Andrew Wiley versus Hassan Reddick is a scary situation for the Chiefs. But as Dan Israel pointed out yesterday, a lot of people, Chiefs fans, freak out last time the Chiefs played a good pass rush. Well, they had Mike Remmers at right tackle. Wiley had to move to left tackle because Eric Fisher blew out his Achilles 2 weeks prior. So they had to scramble. And Wiley was at an unnatural position. He's way better at right tackle than left tackle. He's used to playing right tackle. And they're going to have help. There's going to be tight ends. McKinnon's going to chip, I'm sure, on Reddick. It's the other Eagle defensive players you're probably going to have to pay attention to. They got two other guys on their line that have 11 sacks. So offensive line's big to protect Mahomes. And I think Mahomes will have I've got this feeling Mahomes is going to have an unbelievably great game. I think he's going to have that game where, because he's been pedestrian so far in the Super Bowl. His stat line's pedestrian. 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Grandy is running for his life and threw 2 or 3 touchdowns that weren't caught against the Buccaneers when he's running for his life. He was not good against the Niners until it was crunch time late in the third and the fourth quarter. I think this is his game where he's going to really have, I think he might throw for 350 and, you know, 2 or 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, be very efficient. But the wild card to me is, if the Eagles pass rush can get to Mahomes and re-aggravate that ankle, because he will not be 100% on Sunday. He won't be. Now, he might be 85 to 90. That's great. And so that does concern me. So we'll continue to follow this tomorrow with Mahomes' ankle. Kadarius Toney, he's feeling great right now. Full load today, practice-wise. They'll have a better idea on him. Juju's good to go so far, practicing. Of course, Mecole Hardman is out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will maybe be active for this game and maybe play a little bit. I don't know if it's going to matter. And then you've got Willie Gay supposedly good to go. And Snead has cleared concussion protocol. So, you know, the biggest players we talked about, for the most part, with the exception of Hardman, are going to be good to go on Sunday. At least it appears that way. Now, how long they'll go before they re-aggravate something, that's anybody's guess. So we'll talk about it more tomorrow. Now, let's shift to the NBA, where this is huge, huge stuff. The Los Angeles Lakers, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Utah Jazz are finalizing a 3-team trade that's going to send Russell Westbrook and a top-4 protected 2027 first-round pick to the Jazz. D'Angelo Russell, who's only 26 and started out with the Lakers, he's going back to the Lakers along with Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley. And Mike Conley Jr. is now going to go to the T-Wolves and be reunited with Rudy Gobert. because Rudy Gobert was traded from the Jazz to the T-Wolves. So D'Angelo Russell is expendable. He's making quite a bit of money. I believe his contract ends at the end of this year. And the T-Wolves, Anthony Edwards is a stud. And so he's their primary ball handler now anyway. So he's going to have complete control of everything. Russell's averaging about 17, 18 points a game. It's a good pickup for the Lakers. And Beasley's a younger guy, Vanderbilt. So the Lakers get younger in this process. I don't think they have any draft picks left for the next 10 years. It seems like they're just trading every one of them, kind of like other teams have done. And so you thought that was a pretty big trade, right? Significant. And the Brooklyn Nets said, hold my beer. Kyrie Irving and Durant. Durant's been hurt. Irving's been playing well the last couple months. The Nets are right back, finally in contention. You get Durant back, and the Nets are a serious NBA championship contender. And then Kyrie says, I'm disrespected. I'm not appreciated for my work ethic and everything else. And so he wants to be traded because the Nets basically said they're not going to give him the money that he wanted. And he's like, look what I've done for you for 2 months. And the Nets are like, yeah, but where you been the last 2 years? You missed half the games.
Yeah.
So he gets traded to Dallas. He started last, I don't know how he did last night, but he played last night. For the Mavericks, Luka was out. So all of a sudden, you know, I thought, well, you don't have to trade Durant. 3 years left on his contract. You didn't trade him during the offseason when Irving wanted out. You hold on to the guy, and then you make a run for it here, maybe with some role players in Durant. And then in the offseason, you can get a whole bunch of stuff for Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant right now is hurt. And the Phoenix Suns says, give me Kevin Durant. According to reports, the Phoenix Suns are going to acquire Kevin Durant from the Nets in a huge blockbuster trade. The Suns are going to send Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson, and Jay Crowder, three very important players on their team that went to the NBA Finals 2 years ago, four unprotected first-round picks, and a 2028 pick swap to Brooklyn for Durant, and TJ Warren comes to the Suns. Durant had previously asked for a trade during the offseason. At the time, the Nets didn't find a deal for him. He eventually agreed to rejoin the team. The Suns, at that point, were his preferred destination. So now you have Devin Booker, Chris Paul, an aging, slowing down point guard. He's not having the best year this year. And Kevin Durant. That seems like a really fearsome trio, doesn't it? Well, we've talked about this before a few times, and that hasn't worked out well for the Nets a couple of times in their history. And the Suns give up some really good younger players, really good role players, defensive players. Jay Crowder hasn't been playing all year anyway, so that's not a big deal losing Crowder because he hasn't been playing this year. But to me, this is a desperate final attempt by the Suns to go win a championship.
Oh, for sure.
And the Mavericks are somewhat desperate, but I think the Suns, listen, I know they weren't going anywhere this year, it doesn't look like, but they still have DeAndre Ayton. They still have a talented front four or five players. But Chris Paul, I just don't know what's left in the tank with him. Obviously, having Durant will help. But you gave up a lot, but you didn't give up DeAndre Ayton. I don't know. I mean, I think Durant can fit in a lot better than Irving and Harden. I think Durant can fit in. He knows how to do it. He's proven it. He did it with the Warriors.
Absolutely.
You know, Harden hasn't proven it on an extended period of time. Obviously, Kyrie couldn't. He should have stuck with LeBron in Cleveland is what he should have done, and he didn't. But I think the Suns are giving up a lot. You have to give up a lot for Kevin Durant. Some people said they're surprised the Suns didn't have to give up more, including DeAndre Ayton. So I guess some people are saying the Suns got a really good deal here. I'm like, you're getting an injured player. Like, lost in this whole thing is Durant is not healthy right at this moment. And so now the Lakers think they're better. The Suns think they're better. And they do have him under contract for 3 years. That's the one good thing about it. Whereas Kyrie and the Mavericks, there's no agreement there. He can fly at the end of the season. And James Harden can get out of the Sixers at the end of this year, too, by the way. And they're talking about he may go back to Houston. But if it's any other superstar, I would say the Suns are making a gigantic mistake. I will say Kevin Durant is one of a kind, and he does seem to blend in with other stars and has done the job. But he is not young anymore, and he has had a lot of injuries with his knees the last few years, including the ruptured Achilles a few years back. So, you know, I think you got a 1 or 2 year window with this, and then you're going to blow this whole thing up again.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. That's the part that you like about it. If you're making this deal with the Suns, it's like, I want to go. If I get this guy and he's not healthy right now, I need him
right
in the future.
Yeah.
So a couple more years in the future, you get him and you can do some things here. And
how
maybe
much is Chris Paul
put it together?
Left?
Yeah, that's the thing too. Is you just don't know on that. But if you can find somebody else that can maybe fill some of those minutes if he can't go, you know,
Cameron
Chris Paul,
Payne, maybe.
You know, when you have KD, you have more flexibility.
There's no doubt
about
that.
I will say that if he's healthy.
He can play various spots on the floor.
And so that's, I think, a big part of it, too, is like even if Chris Paul's out, you know, KD can run he can handle the ball for a while,
yes,
you know? And so there's a lot of things he can do with Kevin Durant. And like I said, that's all predicated on him being healthy.
Absolutely.
And
all right.
That's supposedly going to change around the All-Star break. He's supposedly coming around back around the All-Star break. So maybe right before.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're not going to make this trade if he's not
right
coming back.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then how long will that last? He's now three straight years he's been hurt when he has come back from that horrible Achilles. He has not played a full season.
Yeah.
But I guess you just load management, right? And then just hope he's ready to go in the playoffs and turn on a switch. I don't think this is going to end well for either of these teams. I don't think it's going to work well for the Mavericks. I don't think it's going to work so great for the Suns, but I think that has a better chance of working. Mm-hmm. And then, good luck with the whole wherever Russell Westbrook goes.